Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Emerson Process Experts podcast. Today, I'm joined by Johan Claassen, who is Vice President of Global Lifecycle Service Operations for Emerson's Process Systems and Solutions business. Johan has an electrical engineering degree from the University of Pretoria in South Africa and has been with Emerson for more than a decade. Prior to his work with Emerson, he was an engineering and maintenance manager with Sasol in South Africa. Welcome, Johan.
Hey, Jim. Good to be with you this afternoon.
That's great. Let's start out by asking, what made you decide to pursue a career in services?
You know, it was actually the way that things just unfolded. As when I started after my university degree, I started with Sasol, you know, in South Africa. And I guess all of my 23 years of my career, I've been kind of in services, Drew. I've just been on the different sides of the fence. So with Sasol, I grew up as an engineer, and I quickly went on to management and maintenance management and operations management. And So I got to see services from a customer perspective, you know, and then through Emerson, I've got the opportunity now to see it from a different angle, you know, and how do we supply services to our customer. And, it's kind of been interesting. I always say that I'm still customer at heart, because that's 13 years, and in Emerson I'm now 10 years. So, it's getting close where I can't say that anymore, but I think it's great to have been on both sides of the coin and working with customers. You know, services for me is the place in the company where we deal with customers pretty directly. True, it's where once they've installed your products and your technology, this is where we come in and help them, you know, not just service it, but also drive the value out of the investment that they made. And I think it's that aspect for me that really drives me into the service business and gives me a passion and energy to get up every morning.
Well, I think that's really valuable, having that background and being in the shoes of customers for having lived it so many years. So tell us about market trends and growth opportunities you see in lifecycle services.
Well, I think, Jim, if I look at some of your posts that you've had in the last couple of months, yeah, we know that the industrial Internet of Things is a big, will have a big influence on our business going forward. You know, digital transformation, mobile, all of those trends are things that, you know, not just affects our products, but it also affects our services. And, if we look at all of that coming together, and as customers are embracing digital and IoT, I think it's going to fundamentally change the way that we do service, Drew. If you think about that, more and more assets will be connected as customers become more comfortable with connecting the asset into the cloud and sharing data up there. And, fundamentally what will happen is that it will necessitate the need for our service people to go to site and make that less and less, true, because as you have more connected, there's no need anymore to go and do monitoring on site. You know, we will do that out of the comfort of our monitoring centers, our offices, or wherever our field service people are stationed. So I think that's one trend. The other side that I think has been going for quite a while is what we call the consumption gap. And that's something that, it's not our own term, it's something that TSIA, or the Technology Services Industry Association, have coined. And, they talk about the complexity avalanche that's happening with, as technology companies like ourselves are introducing more and more functions and features to our products, it's the ability of a customer to leverage that function and feature to deliver a business outcome. And I think that's where people are struggling. And the two have kind of, so functions and features have been increasing, but the ability to leverage that has kind of been, slowly growing, so that creates a gap. And I think that gap is where we as Emerson can come in from a service point of view and really help our customers to drive value from the investment that they've made. So that's a second trend. And then I think and we'll talk a bit about it probably later, is as we think about the new millennials, everything these days, if you look at the millennial generation, it's everything is done digitally, true. It's everything is done on mobile. They like doing everything in apps, and You know, so I think if you look at business models is going to be changing as well. You know, from where I think traditionally customers have been, you know, they buy our technology, we help them implement that through our project services, and then, you know, we'll come through with services and kind of, you know, maintain it, and perhaps if they have problems, we'll help them. But I think there's a new trend that's coming where they're saying, we don't want to own the product anymore, we just want to buy an outcome. And that's where, you know, business models like as a service, you know, software as a service, product as a service, platform as a service, you know, anything as a service will come in. And I think that is, again, where services will have a huge part to play, because it is a subscription model. You know, it goes for 3 years, 5 years, you know, and we will have to manage that. And I think those are key trends that's going to really fundamentally change the way that we do business and service in the future.
Yeah, I think that really resonated with me, what you said about that gap, because, you know, in no matter what the technology applies, it doesn't seem like we know everything about it and we're not getting all the value. And to be able to have some kind of service or an expert come in and really get that value from what some of those extra functions can be really valuable in this digital transformation. So speaking of those digital transformations, how do you see that and IIoT changing the way we as Emerson work with and develop relationships with our customers?
So again, it ties to what I said. You know, I think it will definitely change our business models on, you know, how do we sell to our customers. You know, not just being able to sell the product and you know, just transferring the technology through that sell. It will be where I think the risk will transfer onto Emerson, and customers will say, well, you know, I'll pay you if it works, and I'll pay you a monthly subscription fee. So it's pay by use. You know, those are kind of things that I think will change the way that we sell. You know, and also I think there's this, if you look at the future, you look at artificial intelligence and machine learning, those are also things that, you know, as we go to market, I think it's going to be a differentiator for companies that develop that and develop it in a sense where it can make things easier for a customer, through where you can come in and say, well, you know, when traditionally to service you, we had to use people to do basic fault finding. Through AI and machine learning, I think the basic fault finding will be done by algorithms, through, and that will make it cheaper for the customer. You know, it will kind of reduce a bit of our dependence on service people. But, you know, we'll use those service people for the tougher problems to solve that AI and machine learning in the beginning probably won't. You know, you'll still need, you know, there's a lot in the media around AI will come and replace humans. I don't think so. I think it's just where we apply humans will be different.
You know? Right, kind of change the nature of
what they do, you know, and move towards more the complex problems solving, etc. So I think those are things that's really going to drive change here and how we interact with our customers here.
Why is the role of a customer value manager so important in the new outcome-based service model?
So again, as you think about as a service, you know, it's clearly something that's new in our business, but not so new in the IT space. You know, if we, you know, so customer success or customer value managers is the concept that we really got from the IT, industry. And I think the IT industry, as they have implemented these as a service models, monthly subscription or yearly renewals, you know, they've realized that there's a need for someone that needs to be working close to the customer to deliver that value and that outcome. And, you know, so gone are the days where you can just leave the customer and just sell him a subscription. Because if you do that and he doesn't see the value, you know what happens. He cancels the subscription. I mean, that's what we do. You know, I've got golf apps, and if I see there's a new feature on another golf app, what do? I just cancel my subscriptions very easy. I mean, you don't even talk to someone. You just go in and say cancel, and it's done, you know. So I think that's going to be, and that's the value of this person, this new role in the organization, that really working closely with the customer, not just as a contract manager, but truly understanding the customer's, you know, business, understanding their processes and how this as a service model will help them drive value and measuring it through KPIs and just constantly being there for the customer and really be the person that closes that consumption gap, through, because he needs to be that center point of contact between the customer and Emerson, bringing in resources as required.
Yeah, that sounds just critical, because especially in measuring the value of it. Customers are so busy just doing what they can to produce the things, they don't necessarily stop to measure what that value is. So having that to show that it is delivering business value is a critical thing.
Absolutely.
So tell us about a recent challenge that you've been working on to solve.
So I think it's kind of a bit related to what we've been talking about is, you know, if we think about digital again and we think about mobile, you know, I'll be the first one to say this, and you know, that in, if you look at our service business, we've kind of been old school in how we do service. You know, we do things very manual, very paper-based, and in, you know, but we like to talk about digital and plant web and all these kind of, you know, great digital concepts, but the way we do business is still very, very manual. So one of the challenges we had to overcome is, and also getting ready for this transformation and all these new trends coming our way, is how do we, you know, transform digitally inside our own business? You know, and the one area that we looked at is how we interact with customers from a field service point of view. So we wanted to make our interaction with the customer easy and simple and fast, you know, from where they request a service to where we invoice them for that service and we complete the work. And we've looked at our whole business process, you know, right through, and we're taking that and we're making it mobile and we're making it digital. We've partnered with Oracle and their cloud solutions to do that for us. And we'll, you know, in the next month here, we will be ready to launch our first application in that space to do that. So, you know, again, it's a cross automation solution. So, you know, trying to solve it for all our business units and just improving the way that we do business from a service perspective.
It's great to hear that digital transformation going on, even the boundaries between suppliers and customers, and making that more seamless. That's definitely going in the right direction there. I love that. So outside our world of process automation, what do you personally enjoy doing in your spare time?
So, you know, I'm the fortunate father of two daughters, and, you know, we recently became, you know, Tanya and myself became empty nesters. So we now have, you know, it's a different phase of our life, and, you know, just enjoying time to get to know each other again. So that's taking a lot of time, and you can do things different now. So we love to go out and just enjoy life and, you know, dining and also the outdoors. I know at this point probably not the best time in winter, but you know, Austin's a great place, and I love just traveling, you know, through Texas and seeing different places and just hiking, etc. And then, you know, the one that's probably more contentious is my golf. You know, I do love golf, and you know, I'm trying to get to a single digit handicap, so that takes some time, but you know, hopefully in the future we'll get there. So.
Well, that sounds great. From one empty nester to another, it is a different and exciting phase of life. So congrats on reaching that milestone. So I guess finally, as a wrap up, what opportunities does Lifecycle Services offer for millennials, you know, starting their careers in the field of process automation?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something that I know we as a service council have been talking about, is how do we attract, you know, young and upcoming professionals into our service business. I think a lot of people has always seen services, you know, I always talk about the complaints department and how do we change that, you know, that perception of what service, and it is a lot more, you know, it as we, you know, as I've talked today about digital transformation and how we're embracing it, we are looking at millennials, and we know that that's the next generation. And, you know, if you think about, again, how they transact, you know, through Amazon and Uber, it needs to be easy, simple, and flexible through. And, you know, and we definitely, as we look at our offerings, we look at our messaging, we look at our solutions, we're trying to align with that and make things mobile and make it easy and make it an application, you know, that they can interact with. What better place to be than in the area where 60%, almost 60% of our revenue is coming from, and where people like Mike Train, Savvy Mitra want to see a lot of growth in. And I think that is an area for me that, why would you not want to be there? It's a growth area. It's where we're going to grow, you know, significantly and invest significantly.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it from our customers' side, they're challenged with doing so much more, maybe with fewer people and everything else, so they naturally want to rely on key partners to help them with through that part of it. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. they want to focus on their core business. You know, they want to focus on making products. You know, and in the end, leave the speciality to suppliers and OEMs to come in and provide that as a service for them. So.
Well, Johan, thank you so much for joining us today. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Jim. Great spending time with you.